is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Saturday morning, February 16th, 2019. We got a full crew this morning. Good morning, Brother John.
Morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And Brother Tim, have we got you back?
No, he's off.
Okay, he's trying. He's having some phone problems this morning, but we're going to hopefully welcome Brother Tim from Nebraska back on here shortly. And we welcome you, the remnant, for joining us here for this program. We'll have the phone lines open this morning if you'd like to call in. And John, we'll give it to you to open us up with prayer, sir.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for all of our many blessings, as well as our trials and our tribulations that, according to your work, refine us into the men and women that you want us to be, so that we can make it into the first resurrection and serve in your kingdom. Father, we ask today, this morning, that you would guide and direct our thoughts, give us wisdom and understanding and discernment, that you would bring to our minds the things that are important for your people, and Father, that you would convict your people across the country and throughout the world, Lord, if there's something that the Holy Spirit's convicted them of, that they should share it with your people. The remnant. A small group, that the Bible says, will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers. We thank you for the healings and the miracles that we continue to see. We thank you that the things in the dark continue to be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And we also thank you, Father, for the things that are being done in government, in our state and local and federal governments, that show us that the lines are being drawn. But Father, we ask that you would give us discernment so that we can understand what it is that's going on, that we can see through their plans and understand the end game. And Father, we know that that's not possible without your help and without the help of the Holy Spirit. Your word says we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord. We continue to ask for more knowledge, understanding, discernment, and, Father, for more Holy Spirit in our lives. Draw us closer to you, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and help us to encourage one another to love and good deeds, just as your word says. Lord, we love you and praise you. Confess that you are our Lord and Savior and the Son of God. Father, the majority of the people who listen to this program, the majority of the members of the body, have taken that next step and have been born again of the water and the Spirit, died to their old lives, and now their desire is to serve you, running from sin instead of towards sin, which is the habit of most of the world. Father, we thank you that we had a pastor that was not afraid to preach and tell the truth no matter what the consequences. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to make the provisions that need to be made to allow us to continue to do that, Lord, to proclaim the truth no matter what the consequences. So we lift up this program this morning, Lord, this gathering, and we just give you all the praise and all the glory in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Renette, we have the phone line open this morning. If you'd like to call in, 307-745-5913, if you have a question or a comment, and be glad to take it. Well, Jason, I'm going to give it down to you this morning. I don't have much of a voice. And see if you've got something you want to start with. I know there's plenty going on. Didn't know if you had anything special to start with or not.
Oh, yeah. There's so much to talk about right now in the news. I mean, you look out and see what's going on, and it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's obvious that things are different than they were last year, the year before, and, you know, times are changing. And, you know, as you look around, you know, sometimes there can be some stuff that you see, and it can be discouraging, you know, and I really think that we're in those prophetic times of the Israelites of old. They got weary. Though weary, they pressed on. And that's what we as the remnant need to continue to do. And we need to, you know, I think it helps when we remember that, hey, we are a remnant, you know, and it helps when we remember that we're in warfare, that our enemies are making a fight against us. They're attacking us on all different kinds of fronts. You know, our families are at war. There's a war that is after our children, after our land, after our health, after, you know, trying to destroy us as a people. And I mean, you see it on so many different fronts. And, you know, you got to have a good attitude about it. And I think that that's one of the things that people really need to have. I see people struggling with that out there. And, you know, you need to have a good attitude. You need to smile at the future. You know, though weary, they pressed on. Was the Israelites of old, that's what they did. That's what the Gideon soldiers did. And, you know, there's going to be a Gideon elite out there who always continues to press on. And, you know, we talked a little bit last week about the tract Isaiah's Job, and I'll tell you what, I read it again this week, and it's just, I mean, it's phenomenal, and it tells a story of what we as Christian America needs to be doing. You know, right now we see things happening in Pennsylvania, not just in Pennsylvania, but in basically every state in the Union. But Pennsylvania, there was an article that was published this week that says that Pennsylvania College demands that white male students not be allowed to speak in class. And it was basically they're trying to get it drafted. A woman wrote a report in school and is campaigning to make it against their policy for allowing white males to speak in class, because they've been taught and programmed that their opinion matters. and they want that removed. Well, you know, I mean, it's obvious that there's a war being waged and that people are fighting against the white males. And, you know, that's been going on a long time. Well, it's true. Yeah, they are the ones that have a voice that matters, and, you know, they should be able to speak their mind. And their word and what comes out of their mouth should have power. You know, and they hate that. They can't stand that. And there's just a war that is on so many different fronts. And, you know, I mean, I think that it's one of these times, we're living in those times where we've got to press on, we've got to hit our knees and be praying. I mean, God's given us a second chance on so many different things, and people that are taking it for granted. And it's mind-boggling sometimes how many people take those second chances that they get for granted. And when God gives you a second chance at something, that's a gift. That's a blessing. You don't take it for granted.
No. Well, one of the things that's interesting to me is that with that silencing the white male in the classroom thing is I can believe that my voice, that I, you know, have power and everything else, but I think what they're worried about is the fact that other people listen, and you can't stop up their ears, so the next best thing is to shut up the mouthpiece, you know, so that way there can't be any of that law that's written upon their heart put out there, or there can't be any of that moral compass spoken out loud. And we know that there are power in words, so, you know, if they can stop that, boy, that's just another warfare tactic, right? I mean,
we've seen that toxic masculinity, you know, thrown out here just in the last month or two about how these radical leftists and feminists, that's what they, you know, that's part of their plan. It's a multifaceted attack on men. And like you said, Jason, on specifically white males. And they are taught, you know, from an early age, not to speak their mind. Boy, if they're boys in class, what does the state want to do, and the feds and the teachers want to do? Put them on Ritalin, put them on mind altering drugs, so they can be more like the girls. And it is the next step in progression in this war. I know when, you know, if you see parents out, and especially if they got boys, you know, you let them know, hey, let them be boys. Teach them, train them to be boys, to be young men, to be men. And then, of course, men of God. And that's so lacking today. John, I'm sure you see that in the place you're at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every year it gets worse, especially LGBTQ wise, diversity wise, all this other crap. They're setting up parameters that if you're not willing to go along with the program, then they don't want you to be employed. And fortunately, I'm coming to the end of my time, but the new guy that I have to train up, he's had to take 16 classes on management, and a lot of that is diversity and, you know, compromise in the workplace. And, I mean, it's getting so pathetic anymore where they're like, well, if they're late for work, you really can't do anything about it because there must be some reason that they weren't able to get to work on time. So, I mean, they're taking away all of your disciplinary actions that you could use to produce good workers, for lack of a better word. But, I mean, that bottom line is, a manager, you're only as good as the people that you have under you. And if you can't discipline them and mold them into the people that they need to be to make your department look good or whatever it is that you're doing, then they've taken away your ability to be successful.
Wow, that's
yeah, that's happened in so many different places and everything, though. I mean, it's just, you know, and they've taken the thing, they've taken away responsibility from people, and people always have an excuse for anything, and they do whatever they want. And, you know, we talk about millennials being that way, but it's not just millennials. It's, you know, they're on all different fronts, and they're on all different ages.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But you look at the mentality of the Congress that we have now with this Green Deal, that everyone deserves a living wage, whether they can't work or whether they don't want to work. That's in the legislation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we see that.
It goes back to, like you said, production, really. I mean, they want to destroy the production. And you see I see plans within plans, or it occurs to me that, you know, the Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. Well, in order to have fruit, you have to produce fruit. It's a verb. You know, I mean, it requires doing something. And when they don't produce any fruit, you don't know what they are, except that they're only fit for what the Bible said was the fire, you know, to be put upon the fire. And I think that there's no production. They want to destroy the production in the workplace. They want to destroy production of spiritual fruit, of physical fruit, and everything else. You know, it's a full-scale attack.
Well, you know, you used to be able to promote within, you know, people who'd been here for years of service meant something. Years of loyal service meant something. Years of good evaluations meant something. And, you know, as a manager, my goal would be to try to take care of my guys before I leave. And, you know, I had a perfect plan in place so that everyone was advanced before I left. And unfortunately, my plans and their plans don't coincide, because anymore what the deal is you can't promote people within your ranks. Everything has to go out to bid, and the reason for that is because you know, there was established generations of European white Anglo-Saxon Christian men in these positions of authority and management and all that, and their goal is to weed those out. You know, there's no longer promotion within because of that scenario, in my opinion. And it has to go hit the street so that the minorities have an opportunity to apply for these positions. And who knows what you're going to get these days with the transgender and, you know, queer, everything else. So it's all by design.
It is. It is. And like you said, we see it in our government. We see it in the in the government institutions, whether it's you know, the education system or whatever. We are seeing it. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, it's removing the responsibility. And you know, our enemy does a good job of that. They don't want people to think they have to be responsible. And that is such a, it is such a falsehood. It might get you into this this new world order that they're working on, but it's not going to get you a paycheck. It's not going to get you a job, a career. They say that it does and that it will, but in the long run, it certainly won't.
Yeah, it's kind of comical. You talk to some people that are either older generation, and they don't want to hear, you know, they understand that there's a problem, and they when you reason with them, they can see your reasoning, but they just don't want to hear it. And I was talking to my mom the other day, and she was just saying, oh, how terrible it was for the government shutdown that those people didn't get paid.
Right.
And I go,
didn't get paid.
They didn't get paid. Hasn't been a government shutdown period ever where they didn't get every single penny that they supposedly deserve. So
right.
Basically, they got a 30-day paid vacation. So,
yep.
You know what? I don't want to hear it. Here's the thing. If you're not responsible enough to save some money to get by for a month or at least a couple of weeks where you have to live day to day on your paycheck and you're making a decent living, because all of those government employees make a decent living, if you can't save any money, then you're an idiot, because nothing's guaranteed. You can go to work tomorrow, and they can hand you a pink slip, and you better have alternative plan, especially if you have a family. So take some responsibility and quit trying to blame it on the government.
Amen.
Amen. She didn't want to hear that, though. My mom did not want to hear that.
But you see you see that diatribe that comes out, though. See, the people were expecting, oh, well, these people, because we heard the same thing here, John. You know, well, these people, they deserve to get paid. They deserve to get, it didn't talk anything about the job that they have. It's just they deserve to get paid. And, you know, if they're not doing the job, they don't deserve to get paid. And that's that responsibility that's being taken away, like you said, about, you know, just coming to work on time. Things like that. And they're not being taught. And it's just, it's not a, to this next generation and these people coming up, it's not being taught as an issue at all. But it is. It is in the workplace. Go, Tim, you had something. Didn't mean to interrupt you, brother.
Well, I just had seen a whole bunch of notifications on, there was an article out on notifications on all different banking sites and credit card sites and various financial institutions that had put headers on their sites that said, if you are affected by the government shutdown, you know, financially or anything else, we're here to help. Contact us and we'll make arrangements to get you through it, you know, it was basically like, well, you know, if you're involved in this, why, we can make it all work for you. And it just struck me how, I mean, here you have some guy who's worked for a company maybe, like John said, for most of your life, and you go in one day and they say, hey, we're all, you know, we went broke and here's your pink slip, and they don't care about you. They're not going to, you know, when you say, hey, I can't pay my house payment until I get another job or something, it's like, well, pay up or get out, you know. I mean, they don't...
Yeah, but the government was giving up, you know, telling mortgage companies to work with them and loans and all that. But one of the things that's going on in the country right now, let's talk about is, they said, I think it was maybe 700 million. It's got to be. But anyways, that are... at least 90 days late on their auto loans. And then the thing that really struck me was that the average monthly payment on an auto loan is $600.
Wow.
Because, you know, cars are expensive, obviously. 40 grand. And if you got nothing to put down and they extend it out for 7 years, then, you know, your payment's going to be pretty high. The other thing that's happening that people don't talk about is that the lease rate used to be like, you know, 3 to 5%, whereas the number of leases, and now it's in the 30%. So what's happening is all of these low mile, you know, 36 month leases are coming off, and people are finding that they can more easily afford a leased vehicle with less than 50,000 miles on it than they can a brand new one extended over 7 years. And that's really putting a damper on the new car market. And if you look at what happened with Cash for Clunkers, that's exactly what that was. That was getting a bunch of the decent used cars off the market so that you had no choice but to buy a new car. And, you know, that's basically what's always going on, is there's always these backdoor deals.
Schemes within schemes on all that.
Yeah, so they say the economy is so great and all that, you know, and it's better for a lot of people. The good news is the unemployment rates down, and if you want to work, there's work to be had, jobs to be done, and, you know, money to be made. But, those that don't want to work, you know, their goal is obviously to have you on the government teat from cradle to grave, and they don't hide it anymore. I mean, the degree of socialism that they're boldly proclaiming anymore, and, you know, to a millennial or to a college student or something like that, sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good to get free college. Sounds pretty good to have free health care, to have free housing and food stamps and, you know, the government taking care of you. And, but they don't understand is until they get into the workforce and they start being taxed to death that, nothing's free. And, I think that's the interesting thing is these kids who want all the stuff for free, sadly they vote and that's what makes the difference, but, they're the ones that, that have no idea until they actually get into the workforce, and then they're not so keen on all the free stuff.
That's right. Yeah, they missed Pastor's teaching on there's no free lunch. I like how he did that teaching that, you know, he says that is the bottom line of wisdom. Hacked down to the very basics. There's no free lunch. And, you know, we teach our children that. We remind them of that. And as they're growing up, and when you see other people out there, you know, in small groups, you get a chance to talk to them, and especially, like you said, these millennials, that there is no free lunch. Somebody somewhere has to pay for it. And the people, if they would realize that, you know, they've tried that that socialist government taking care of everything for you from cradle to grave over in the European nations in the last 30 years, and you see where that has gotten them. And it has not been a benefit or a blessing, but a curse for that to happen.
Everybody seems to forget, though, that the country's broke already. You know, when you're $20 trillion in debt, we're already broke. Most of the states are upside down. You know, few are doing better than others, but nobody's addressed. I mean, we're still adding $1 trillion a year to the national debt, so nobody's addressed the debt issues at all. And eventually, it's going to come home to roost. It has to.
Yeah. Yeah. The articles and the information that I've read talk about the debt issue worldwide, even, and it's so high that if you sold the world three times over, and that's every bit of assets or income or whatever, you couldn't pay the debts off. So it's one of those. But the biggest question is who is the debt owed to?
Right. That's what I was thinking.
You know, that's the,
see, that's what people don't understand, you know, about that, you know, that, it, and if I understand it right, that it's, that debt is owed to the Federal Reserve that prints paper out of nothing. They just buy a roll of paper and print it and loan it out at interest. And the borrower is debt to the lender. And the lender has zero involved in it. And they make money out of nothing. They tried to be God and speak it into existence, and so far they've done a pretty good job of it.
And God's way of getting out of debt were the Jubilee years. I mean, we've talked about that in the past, but that was basically take a pencil, draw a line through it, and debtor was in possession, and go on. And that reset happened, you know, every so many years, the situation was rectified if it got out of balance at all. And obviously there are those people there who, you know, if you give them a dollar, they spend 10, and that's just the way they live their life. There are good people who are productive people who are, you know, just occasionally things get out of kilter for them and they kick their feet back in them. But, this is a travesty as far as that goes. John's right. The numbers are just staggering, and the whole, well, we need a budget, and we need this whole deal with the national emergency and some of that kind of stuff is interesting as regards the debts. I was thinking about, they're talking about numbers that personally I can't even comprehend. You know, you get that many zeros behind them, it's like,
here's
a long time.
The public schools aren't educating these kids, especially in the basics, you know, math and language and writing and whatever. But you know, they think it's only one trillion. that's not that much. One, you know what I mean?
And, yes. It's just
there's
one.
No reality. There's no reality as to, you know, $1 billion anymore is like $100 when we grew up, the way they throw the money around.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Unless it's to build a wall, then it's
then it's $1 billion. More money than,
you know, $1 trillion.
That's right. That's right. Well, I don't know if we ran it in a newsletter quite a while back. I think Pastor had, but, you know, talking about like the math problems they did in school back in the 1800s. You know, a guy's got 40 acres of lumber, and he cuts it, and, you know, he gets $2 a board foot, and here's his expenses, and, you know, can you figure out if he makes a profit or not? And you kind of had to understand a little bit about math and expenses and cost and things like that, and that was then. And today's math is, you know, here's Joe the logger, and he cuts down, you know, trees. How does that make you feel? And that's a math question.
Yeah.
That we've seen in this Common Core math that has come. Our pastor prophesied about it. That has come to pass, and it's not taught. You know, I've mentioned it before. The college textbooks, they're atrocious. I'm sure you've seen them, John. But they, you know, no mention to God. They have rewritten history, and all of it pushes and supports this go to school forever, 4, 6, 8 years of advanced higher education, rack up this massive debt, change your major 5 times. And because the government's just going to, you know, wipe it out and pay it for you anyway. And they put off getting into that workplace to where they do have to pay their taxes for so long that then all of a sudden they're in it neck deep and don't realize it. Well, folks, we do have the phone lines open this morning. Program is Coffee with the Wranglers, and the phone number to call in, 307-745-5913.
I was thinking the other day that all this stuff going on with abortion in New York and Virginia and several other states are starting to look at incorporating it. Think about it, though. So they're talking about late-term abortion even up until the time of birth and sometimes even after birth, but the reality is, if they get people outraged at, I mean, the fact is we haven't been outraged as a nation at abortion, period. It's still the murder of a child from the time of conception. But now, so let's say that they got this radical thoughts out there that if people are eating this state, well, if you think about it, what's the next phase? Okay, well, we agree this might be a little bit too far. And all of a sudden, abortion up until 6 months or 4 months or whatever it is acceptable, you know? And I think that's their end game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, DC two-step.
Right. And that's what they've always done. They go forward, you know, 4 steps, and then they come back 2. But they still gain 2, you know? And we're like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, that's, thank you for, you know, receiving part of what you wanted. It's, yeah. But it's Babylon,
well,
you know?
And the other thing is, how long is it before they take the, you know, we talk about them post-birth abortions, which they're actually talking about and actually trying to facilitate, and it just continues, and, you know, pretty soon it's, well, no, we don't really need anybody over the age of 65 or 70, you know, they're just a drain on the system, especially as these upcoming items we're talking about where they don't have to work or they don't have to, you know, they're just a drain on resources, so we just as well get rid of them. And since we've paid for you your whole life, we now have the supposed right to, as your God and as the person who takes care of you, to terminate your life whenever we feel like it too, you know. So there's, I mean, that's the eventual goal, is to literally have power over. And we've talked about it before, over life and death from cradle to grave, you know. So
they're already doing that with flu shots for most of the elderly. I mean, we see that.
Sure.
Happening.
Well, and again, yeah, I take you back to Europe. You've seen it over there. They've had infanticide and assisted suicide. They've had that for years, 20, 30 years over in the European nations. And they do that. You know, they call it assisted suicide. They, you know, they have where they you know, if they have the elderly, they can just take them out. They just, in their life, if they get to a point. And because that is what that socialism does. And they make it out like it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And it's because they want to play God. They want to be God.
I think another reason they want these late-term abortions and even after birth murders is makes it a whole lot easier to harvest organs.
Yes.
Good organs, hearts and brains and whatever else the sick bastards want for research.
You're right, John. There was a report last week about that from an abortion facility. Said that that's what they would do with late-term abortions. If they could keep, and of course they call it the fetus, but it's a child. If they could keep it alive, the longer they could, the better the organs were and the more they could harvest from it. And the more money they could make. And
yeah.
It is just...
Plus the more suffering they could,
yes.
They could offer to their God, the God of this world, say,
yes.
That's the thing, too. You know, I was trying to explain that to my mom, too. I said, Mom, what's the first commandment? You know, and she's like, well, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I said, well, what does that tell you? Well, what do you mean? Well, it tells you that there's more than one God, right? The Bible says that the God of this world is Satan, right? And she's like, well, yeah, I guess it says that. And I'm like, yeah, well, it does. And I said, we get power from our God, God
yes.
Almighty, through prayer and praise and worship and fasting. Right? And she goes, well, yeah, that makes sense. And I said, guess what? They get power from their God through pain, suffering, and death.
Yes.
And right now, they know that their back's against the wall. I mean, there's a lot of things that have been changed and defeated from the Abomination administration. Most of what he's done has been overturned in one way or another. And they're pulling out all the stops. You know, they're going to... they're going to offer as much sacrifice, pain, suffering, and death as they can to their God to try to get him to step up the power that they have against, you know, it's good versus evil, period, in the spiritual realm. And unfortunately, being in her 80s or whatever, she understands it. She just don't want, you know, that's kind of where my dad was, too. He understood it, but, you know, I've been around a long time and this and that. And let's talk about something, you know, more joyful and happy and peaceful. And I'm like, well, see, that's the problem, Mom. You got 80%, 90% of the churches talking about what's more peaceful and joyful and happiness instead of the truth and reality of what's going on. It's called the churches of Laodicea. You know, they're because they're not hot or cold, God spews them out. And anyways, it's just some people, it seems like there's people like my generation, somewhere in the 40s to 50s range, that genuinely want to try to understand that rationale of thinking. But it seems like 60s up and 30s down don't seem to want to, I mean, they might comprehend it, but they don't want to believe it. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, if you know, it's one of the reasons we push reading your Bible. It's one of the reasons our pastor pushed reading your Bible. Proverbs 8:36 says, those who hate me, and it's God talking, those who hate God love death. And if we had a Bible reading society, if we had people that understood that this abortion at any time is death, is murder, and understanding the word, that they would see that. But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that is the majority a lack of biblical knowledge. And until the people repent and return and read his word and understand it and apply it, you know, knowing that, that these people that love death, that promote death, whether it's Hollywood in their movies or, you know, these these white sepulchers that were so evident at the State of the Union address, that love death, that push it and promote it. They hate God. They hate God. And like Jason started out, it's war. It is absolute war.
Well, you wonder how long they can keep Ruth Bader Ginsburg hidden from the people before they're going to demand a life sighting, you know. The good news, I guess, is the fact that some of the Supreme Court seems to be changing in our favor, and a lot of these things that are happening in the states could and probably will be overturned, I think, in the Supreme Court, depending on what, you know, if we end up with 6-3, then that's a huge advantage for many years to come, and they can try whatever they want in the lower courts, but bottom line is, if we can get the Supreme Court to rule godly and justly, then they can overturn a lot of the stuff that's going on in the lower court.
Absolutely. Well, and one of the things is kind of stepping back to what you were talking about some of these churches and some of these young people. You know, Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the masses. And we've got a lot of religion out there, a lot of pulpits that are devoid. You go to church on Sunday and you get your mainline shot of opiate that gives you joy, happiness, calmness, you know, God is love, Jesus takes care of everything. It sounds like some 70s hippie thing where you're... You know, and instead, the Bible says that he would stir up his people, that he would teach them the ways of war, that he would, and I'm paraphrasing obviously, but the point of going to church is to, and then we're told in Isaiah 41, don't fear, I'm with you, don't anxiously look about you, I'll strengthen you, I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The pain of the situation in the world today without God is great. It's a hard thing. And if you don't have God in your life, that pain needs painkiller. And some people go to these churches with Ichabod written over the door and they get their, you know, weekly dose of opiate. And that's by design. You know, that's the God of this world handing out free drugs. He's just a drug dealer. So,
right.
You know. And
why don't you share what's going on there locally, Jason, in LaPorte even, with troops movement and equipment and things that, I mean, this stuff is real. It's not just conspiracy theory anymore or hearsay.
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, last week we got some emails that were some clips from Dave Hodges, and they were talking about, you know, hearsay on hearing about troops moving through LaPorte, Colorado, and across the northern Colorado Front Range. And it was interesting because I was talking with John on Sunday about it. You know, we'd seen it come through. It came through early last week on Thursday and Friday. It came through town and it set up just south of town here, and you know, they're talking about mobile command centers getting set up out in the middle of nowhere, and then, you know, 3 days later, you know, the troops are there and then they're gone. Don't know where they're at, don't know what happened to them. The camps were still set up, but the vehicles were gone. Then the next day the vehicles were there and the camps were gone. A lot of strange things that are going on across the country as far as troop movement, all across northern Colorado, southern Wyoming, sightings, camps set up out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, I'm wondering, you look at some of the pictures of some of these vehicles, too, it's very possible that it's that it's that they're, you know, makeshift prison camps, you know, and I'm thinking that, you know, there's still the chance that they do have those military tribunals, and that maybe that's what some of these exercises are for. I'm not sure. Some of the other stuff is saying that they're getting ready for an EMP, and I know that there's been a lot of chatter on that. And I believe that that's one of the things that that they are scared of. I mean, EMP or a solar flare that could come through, either one's possible. You know, one's basically God turning the lights out. The other one's on another act of war. You know, we don't know. But I know that America isn't ready for it. You know, as far as ready for it, that's probably not the right term to use, but I mean prepared for it. There's a lot of people that that wouldn't survive that. You know, it just depended on how big it is. But you know, it's these things are happening and they're changing, and you know, it's something to be aware of.
Yeah.
You know, we've had right now too in Colorado, it's one of the things that they're really trying to get past. They're calling it the Red Flag Bill. And basically, even it's getting opposition from, you know, even some like down in El Paso County, the sheriff's department is opposing it. This red flag bill, what it would mean for Colorado is if somebody decides that you're talking crazy and they don't think that you're mentally sound, that they have the right to come in and seize your firearms, and they can keep your firearms for 364 days. And then you can go before a judge and decide if the judge can decide if he believes that you're sane enough and normal enough to receive your firearms back. Well, you know, you talk about, you know, basically the thing that founded this country and this nation was, you know, a person's innocent until proven guilty, and that's what the opposition's saying is there's no due process. You have to have due process. You have to be able to prove somebody doing something wrong or have committed a crime before you can punish them. And, you know, I remember Dad talking a lot about that. I mean, he talked about, you know, there's coming a time where you're going to be able to be charged with a thought crime of thinking something or saying something, and there's no crime committed. And yet you can get in trouble for that. Well, you know, it's passed in several states already, and they're pushing it hard to get it pushed through here in Colorado. The one thing that they're trying to get clarity on is, you know, okay, so what happens if somebody's just angry or upset at somebody? I mean, it happens all the time when somebody's going through a divorce or domestic disputes where somebody says this and somebody says that, and it comes out later on that it's completely false. So under this, there's basically nothing that identifies or makes it very clear on what a person would have to prove to be able to get somebody's weapons taken away. So that's and that's a big deal, because even though they're saying that they can take them and they can seize them for 364 days, there's nothing in writing that says what you have to do to get them back, or if you will get them back. And some of the attorneys that have been commenting on it saying, you know, if you have very, very many weapons and you have this happen to you, you're not going to be able to afford to get your weapons back. You basically just forfeited them. And, you know, basically the way it's written, it looks like that's probably would be the case. But they're pushing that real hard here in Colorado. And it's getting some opposition, not as much as it should. There's a lot of people that are pushing it and basically saying, oh, well, if this would have happened, you know, then the cops would have been able to take this gun away and it could have saved an officer's life here or there. That's simply not the case.
Yeah, Illinois, I was reading here this week, they're pushing legislation through right now. I don't know if it made it through yet or not, but basically they have what they call a firearms owner's identification card that you have to apply for and you have to have in order to purchase ammo or weapons.
And or BB.
Now they're saying...
Pellets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So anyways, now they're saying is in order to renew your FOI card or to apply for one, you have to be willing to... release, I think it's 2 or 3 years of your social media platform. Give them all the passwords so that they can look through your social media accounts and determine whether you're a safe risk as far as to be a firearms owner. So then it even gets more than that. You're thinking, okay, well, I don't have to worry about that because if you're in Illinois, you know, I don't do Facebook. I don't do all this other stupid social media stuff. But now what they're saying is, well, if these people don't have social media accounts, then they're trying to hide something, and we need to deny them FOI cards and the right to own a firearm because they're obviously not right in the head if they're not part of the social media, you know. So that's getting pretty significant, really.
And, it is.
You know, in a state like our state that just lost the House, the Senate, and the governorship, you know, we've already seen things that are insane that they're trying to pass. They just passed, I think, this week a bill that the Supreme Court already ruled on in California, but, you know, if they can get it passed in the states, then unless someone takes it to the Supreme Court, they'll uphold it. But that it's illegal to counsel anyone against homosexuality or transgenderism or to tell them that it's wrong or it's not right for you to repel someone's unwanted sexual advances of the same sex. And I mean, you know, you read the bill and it just makes you physically ill. But I mean, those are the kind of things that are passing in these demon rat run states.
They are. And you know, guys, again, I take us back to Europe. You know, if we don't learn from our history, we are doomed to repeat it. And we are repeating it. And we're going to be doomed if it doesn't change. Because these same things are what happened in Europe, the European nations, the thought crimes, you know. Oh my God, you can't even mention the Holocaust over there. They'll throw you in jail. And we know that, I mean, we've seen that. In just the last few years, you cannot speak out against the immigrants, against the invaders that are coming in. And over the last 30 years, the European nations have been disarmed, and it's because of the legislature and the guidelines and the little inch at a time, the camel getting the nose in the tent on this, a little bit more here, a little bit more there, and that this very thing that we're talking about is what has worked to destroy Europe. And the enemies of God, why would they not do it again? Why would they not implement it here just under a different name? Because it works. It worked for them in Europe to anything goes. You know, the homosexuality, the lesbian, all that they've had that over there for 30 years. And we are seeing the destruction of the European nations, and it's headed here.
Yep, nothing but prayer and fasting, using the weapons of warfare that we've been given through the revealing of the Holy Spirit is going to gain us the victory. That's the truth.
Amen.
But if we do, if we're obedient, you know, I always say it comes down to 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust, really. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then the promise is there. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And that's, you know, that's the bottom line.
Amen.
If my people.
Right. Yep. If then, and that is what we're looking at. It really is. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can come hear some Bible truth. You can come see some Bible truth being taught by joining us at scripturesforamerica.org. You can go there starting 8:30 Mountain Time in the morning, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream. and we will have some Bible truths coming your way. We encourage you to do that. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that just prophetic messages, that's really the only way to describe them. Just from our lifetime, these prophecies, these things that we were taught and we were showed, and now we see them coming true. John, looking forward to your live message tomorrow. We'll have some music for you, so you can get your weekly dose of Bible truth by joining us again at scriptures4america.org. And if you don't have an internet connection, we do record the services, and we send hundreds out on Monday with the DVD church. Again, another way that our pastor saw the to fill the need of the remnant out there wanting fellowship and teaching and gathering with like-minded Christians. So if you don't have good internet, we'd be glad to send you a DVD. Just let us know. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Well, guys, thanks, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Keep on rolling over Snake High.
fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, take high.